This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
The New Japan Purocast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com. Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday afternoon, July 30th at the time that we are recording this, and today we are going to be talking all about the second week of the G1 Climax 27, a tournament that is already being heralded by many respected pro wrestling journalists as the greatest pro wrestling tournament of all time, Damon. How about that?
That's a lofty status there, right? We're already throwing high praise to a tournament that's not even... is it halfway over? It's about halfway over.
It's now, almost right? Halfway over.
All right. Well, that's... That's nice to hear, I guess, right, from all the pro wrestling press. I feel very similar to that. This is really good, Colin. These last week, it sounded like we were literally circle jerking it, right? I mean, we couldn't get enough of the New Japan, right? And we did get some feedback, basically saying, we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't, you know, if we shit on something, we're the most negative fucking podcast on God's green earth. But if we praise something, we're, you know, fanboys and all that stuff. I don't care. I'm going to give you my opinion regardless.
We are honest. That's what we are. Yeah. We're always going to give you our honest opinion on these shows. And
that's right.
That's how we feel. I mean, I felt that way after the first week was over. Like, damn, this is just another level of pro wrestling that you can't find anywhere else.
Yeah. You know, what's great is that, like, so we're on the East Coast. And I don't know about you, Colin. I'm not staying up for shit. You know?
No.
The minute I wake up, which is bright and early, by the way, it is. You know, I could probably watch a lot of these shows live if I really wanted to. Just wake up a little bit earlier. It wouldn't be a big deal. I don't sleep a lot to begin with. Matter of fact, I don't fucking sleep at all hardly. But
you're
anyway.
Like the president. Up all night.
Up all night. Just angry tweeting.
Yep.
Just sending texts to whomever. Like a fucking farmer's irrigation system, right, Colin?
Have fun in Tokyo, Colin. That's probably my favorite Damon McDonald text of all time.
Yeah.
Like, you know that it's like the lowest point.
Oh, you know I've hit rock bottom when I'm chucking out those. Well, here's a story with that one though. That night was really disaster. That was a real disaster night.
Total disaster.
It was just brutal. And here's the thing too. There was, you know, of course, it was alcohol fueled. That was a bad night. That's a bad example, but a common example, unfortunately.
A hilarious example.
It is hilarious. Know what it is? It's the post. It's like the night after where you realize what was done, you know, and fucking Eric is hitting you up and you're like, why'd you block me, dude? Just craziness. Oh me, I'm just such a fucking handful. Anyway, Colin, getting back to the G1 talk, if you don't mind.
Yes.
It's what a joy it is to wake up almost every morning and know that there is some delicious pro wrestling just waiting for you, isn't it?
And you know what?
That's fantastic. That's just such a good feeling, because no matter how shit your day is going to be, right? And you know that waiting for you is at least two matches that you're going to be like, ugh. this is worth living.
And not only that, not only that, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this, but the floor for the majority of these matches is 4 stars. That's the floor for the majority of matches in this tournament.
The main event matches or just matches in general?
Damon, I'll tell you what. Some of the third matches, you know, there's 5 G1 Climax matches. Like, a lot of these matches that go on third, I end up walking away like, wow, that might have been the best match on the card.
Yeah. Listen, there have been some stuff where I'm like, ugh, that kind of fucking stunk. And more recently, right? More recently. We have to talk about Yano and Omega.
We do.
Right? We have to talk about that nonsense. We have to talk about, what was it? Tama Tonga and Suzuki, which you are telling me that you loved.
Yeah, right? We're going to have a difference of opinions regarding this morning's show, which we're going to talk about. We're going to review all the matches from this morning. But within that, we're also going to sprinkle in our thoughts throughout the rest of the week, because there were some amazing matches from this past week, and there were some head-scratchers, as you were alluding to, with the great Yano Omega controversy. So what do you say we dig into it right now and get into this morning's show again? Sunday, July 30th. This one took place from the Gifu Industrial Hall. How about that? First G1 match of the evening, we saw Toru Yano versus Evil. And my thoughts going into this were, you know, I just really hope that Evil hits his finish within like 30 seconds of the bell and gets this out of the way quickly. And sure enough, about a minute, 30 seconds into it, Evil hits his finish. 1, 2, 3. A loss for Yano.
You wasted your genie wish on a Yano Evil match.
I did.
And like, I wish I had $1 million and 2 supermodels. No, you wasted it on Yano and fucking Evil.
Hey, I just wanted to get it over with, and that's what they did. Perfect.
Well, look, if that is you that did that, God bless you. I owe you a beer, because I was similar in that. I don't know what there is to review, right? That really wasn't a match. It was
a squash, right?
Well, it was a ball shot that Evil didn't sell, right? And then, you know, right into the finish, right? Right into the, what did you call that slam? That fucking...
I think it's called Everything is Evil.
Everything is Evil.
I call it the Evil Buster, personally. I think that has a better ring to it, but...
I call it the Evil Frashurala. Yeah.
It's an STO.
I just made that up. I couldn't do that again if I tried to. Hey, look. We get, what was it, 2 minutes long?
It was 1 minute and 33 seconds.
Really?
Yep, wow. 1:33.
Wow.
I had my stopwatch. I was timing every match.
So there's nothing to review with this match, right? So I can't be like, oh, Evil worked hard. It was 1 minute and 30-something seconds. It was one of those. It was like, you know what I think in the back? It's like, so you have Yano, right? And you know that you're working Yano that night. And they probably come up to you and they're like, all right, pick a straw, right? And if it's the shortest straw, you get the night off and you get that 1 minute match. And you're just like, yes, I'm out of here. And you know, it's like you take longer to get dressed than to have the match. You're probably just like, yes.
The other straw is ball shot, roll up, you lose.
You lose. right, exactly. Let's talk Yano, shall we?
Let's talk Yano. A very polarizing figure in the New Japan world.
He is. And again, we said last week how I at least enjoy Yano in the sense of you don't know what the fuck you're going to get.
Right.
You could get a 10-minute match. You could get the 2-minute match that we just saw. You could get the ball shot roll up. He gets the win. That, to me, makes it interesting. The actual match itself is kind of like, all right, it's kind of the same shit, different day. But there is that element of surprise and that element of, oh my God, are they going to fuck over whoever he's wrestling? Overall, his body of work so far in G1, I don't want to say, are you impressed, but do you think he's filling his role as expected?
Well, look, like you said, Yano is there to bring that element of unpredictability into matchups. I think that his best match thus far, and I think most of our listeners will agree with this, it's been against Okada.
Right.
Right? That was probably that might have been Yano's best match of his career, really. But is he fulfilling that role of the wild card? The, oh my God, this could be over in 3 seconds with a quick pull of the hair, shot of the balls. Yeah, I think he has.
To a certain degree, right? Like, you didn't buy the Okada ones, right?
No.
Did you buy anything in the Omega match?
I certainly thought that there was a better chance of Yano pulling one over on Omega than he did Okada, but that that was a different match, right? That was
all right. You want to go here? You want to go here now? Because we're gonna dance around again like we did last week.
We might as well, because it's on both of our minds right now. This controversial, now infamous Kenny Omega versus Toru Yano match from a few nights ago.
Look, this match was complete nonsense, right? It was just. If you love the comedy, you were in heaven, because for the most part, that's what it was. And I think the iconic spot will be, you know, the tape that's taped around each other's ankles, right? And the hopping to the ropes and the that spot will go down in GIF history, right? I didn't hate the match, as shocking as this sounds. I didn't hate it. It's not my cup of tea, right? This was not a Damon match by any stretch of the imagination.
Neither was it a Colin match.
Okay, so we're on this. You didn't like it.
I won't say that I didn't like. You know what? I think that a mutual friend of ours that you might know is, I believe his name is Mackie.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of summed it up best. He said that this was the greatest DDT match in New Japan history.
That's good. Mackie comes up with a judge. Mackie's
right?
One of those. Yeah, he does have a little understanding. While I usually don't watch the comedy. Like, usually I'm fast forwarding through the comedy. And we knew. What did we say? This was going to be Turtleneck Kenny, right?
Oh yeah, you were saying he's going to have 17 black T-shirts on last week.
Right. He's going to be covered head to toe in cloth. So. We knew what we were getting with this match, so let's not pull any punches and think that this was going to be Tokyo Dome Kenny, right? We knew this was going to be silliness, and he probably circled this on his calendar and was like, ah, finally I could fucking do, you know, the silliness that I haven't done really for a long, long time in a
right.
singles match, right? So I'm sure he had built up comedy spots in his head for months, just thinking about the possibility of working with Yano.
Oh, he had this one circled on his calendar.
Yeah.
Make no mistake.
So for him, like, he obviously enjoys that element of pro wrestling. I don't think there's any question about that. He enjoys the comedy as well as the seriousness. And I will go so far as to say that he probably does both very, very well. I'm more of a fan of the serious Kenny. And I think the majority of our audience is, but I do feel that there are certain pockets of the internet and even the wrestling fandom community that enjoy the comedy much more than the serious wrestling, right? And I think that there are people that kind of sway both ways in the sense of they appreciate the comedy, they appreciate the Tokyo Dome. Okay.
Right.
You would be a better judge because again, I don't really watch the comedy to begin with. Like, I'm, back in the day, if I'm looking at fucking Jimmy Valiant, it's fast forward. You know, I'm not sitting around for that nonsense. DDT, I rarely watch. I'll watch their main events because they're generally usually pretty good. But comedy does nothing for me. It actually somewhat embarrasses me, right? Like, I can't. Like, I cringe at some spots.
And quite frankly, I think it gives a certain pocket of fans more fuel to say, hey, see, this is just, you know, hokey bullshit, right?
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm not going to be that guy. If you enjoy the comedy, then that's the pleasure that you get from pro wrestling. That's like me saying, I listen to David Bowie, right? But I like a certain pocket. Like, I like David Bowie's Low period or Heroes period as opposed to, you know, the Thin White Duke period, right?
I like Fame.
Okay. All right. So, all right. But my point is that I would never wag my finger at that person. Be like, no, that fucking era sucked. You know, well, it's still David Bowie. And the same thing with Kenny Omega. Like, it's not my preference. Like, I would rather hear, Queen Bitch as opposed to Let's Dance, right? But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I'm not going to wag the finger. I guess my point is this, Colin. While I personally didn't enjoy the match, and I actually thought the match was, not for nothing, pretty terrible, right? As a comedy, as the comedy element, I'm assuming, and I'm asking you, that this was a good comedy match? Shoulder shrug? Hands in the air?
Oh, as a comedy match? As a comedy match, this was like Okada Tanahashi. Like, this was like total Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, Yosemite Sam. Right. You know, that's what kind of match this was. Now, I think that the problem here is that this match took place within the confines of what we were just saying is the greatest pro wrestling tournament of all time. Like, had this not been in the G1 Climax 27... if this was just a spot show somewhere in a farm town, I think that this would have been heralded. But the fact that it took place in the G1 Climax, I think that's where we run into some issues. Now, with that being said, a wrestler like Kenny Omega, who a lot of people will call the greatest pro wrestler in the world, personally, I think he's probably the second best.
Well, there's a young lady in Bed Bath & Beyond that's going to disagree with you.
I'd like to meet her and have a little conversation. But
I'm sure you would.
Yes, indeed. Look, where I was going with this is Kenny Omega wrestles at a very high level, a level that a lot of people couldn't even dream of wrestling at. And do I have a problem with him, a guy who wrestles at that level, taking a bit of a night off and saving a bit of gas and having a bit of fun? No, not really. I got to say, the match really didn't bother me at all.
Right, right. Again, me neither. And I would agree with that 100%. It's not like he went in there with fucking Okada or he went in there with Ibushi. Like, imagine if he pulled that nonsense with Ibushi. I think everybody's head would explode. There would be riots in the streets.
You know what the funny thing is, though? I think Ibushi would probably go along with it.
Well, me too. That's the scary part. That's where I'm kind of walking a little bit on eggshells.
He would
that
love it.
Because, yeah, I think there's a better, there's a 40% chance that could possibly happen.
Ibushi's a free spirit if there ever was one.
Yeah, he's a definition of free spirit. So, again, he didn't do that. I don't want to say in an important match, because I think every G1 match, to me personally, kind of, I like the seriousness of it, but I mean, he's going to do it with Yano, right? He picked Yano. And what's the difference between that match where, again, let's just call it Kenny taking a night off and doing his comedy stuff, which, some of it was physical, some of it wasn't. What's the difference between that and Evil getting the 2 minute, easy win, right? He punched in his clock. 2 minutes later, he's punching out.
And that's why Yano's in the tournament. He's there so you can have short matches like this. So you can, let some guys rest up a bit and have a night off so they can save some of their reserves for a bigger match on a bigger night. That's just the way it is with Yano in this tournament.
Do you give props to Kenny and Yano for doing something like this? Because to me, it does, again, this was the time to do it between these two guys, but it does take a little bit of balls to kind of say, I kind of do like the attitude of, fuck it, I'm doing this, right? And I don't give a shit. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have a fucking blast. Hopefully everybody else gets it, gets the laugh as well. I do kind of like that idea of Kenny Omega saying, fuck you, I'm going to do this.
I
kind of like that.
The only thing I don't like about it is that, like I said earlier, it gives more fuel for like the Jim Cornettes of the world to say, see, I told you, this is just a stupid video game wrestler who would have been beaten within an inch of his life back in the day if he did something like this. And that's just not how the business is today.
No, it's not. And here's the thing, too. I mean, if he, And again, apparently that is the case. Like he does harp on that.
I love Jim Cornette, by the way.
Me too. He's my listen, I was the dummy who had I had this notebook in high school, right? And instead of just having a wrestler on there would probably be bad enough, but I had a picture of him. It was a picture of him, Paul Ellering, and J.J. Dillon. Like the all three of them were in a picture, and I had it on my notebook.
Wait, this was in high school?
Yeah, I wanted to be Jim Cornette.
You were the coolest guy, Damon.
Let me tell you something. I fucking was. I was ahead of my time. But yeah, I loved the Midnight Express. I was obsessed with the Midnight Express.
Yeah, I mean, you were there in that era. You were in the thick of it, right?
I was in the midst of it. And at the time, you know, Jim Cornette was, you know, hands down to me the best manager in pro wrestling. But my point being is this, like if Jim Cornette can't look at and again, I don't want to single out Jim Cornette at all.
No,
but
I just use that as an example.
Right, because he's the most vocal, right?
Yes.
He is the most out front with it. And here's the thing too. I give Jim Cornette all the credit in the fucking world because he has the balls to say it, especially in this day and age, right? With that said, I don't think I think the Jim Cornettes of the world can't hand wave the hour match that happened at Dominion.
And they do can't. Though. That's the thing.
Well, then that's nonsense.
Because they see stuff like this. Because they see a GIF on Twitter that just makes them roll their eyes. They kind of do hand wave a lot of the more serious stuff. And that's where I have a problem with matches like this taking place in the first place. But, you know, for me, I don't care. I can still enjoy the amazing match that he had with Michael Elgin this past week.
Oof. Yeah, we'll get there because that was an amazing fucking match. I feel sorry for them if they can't look past that and they don't see it in the context in which this is. I mean, again, this is a match with Yano. This is a match with Kenny Omega. That's what you're going to get. It's kind of goes back to the Ricochet Will Ospreay shit, you know? And it's like, that's what you're going to get. Like, you're in the best of the Super Juniors. This is what you're going to see, some flippy-do bullshit, right? It's kind of like, I don't know, like, what you're not going to see. You're not going to see an armbar.
No.
You know what I mean? You're not going to see a chin lock for 20 minutes. And nor should you. I again, was this match my cup of tea? No. Did I think the match was good? No. But again, I don't know balls. I don't know dick all. I'm using every testicle reference I can right there. I don't know.
You should have been a urologist, David.
Seriously. I think it's your testicles that are swollen, sir. Sir, that's my penis. Oh, sorry. I get them confused. My bad. I don't know anything about it. Right, because I don't watch it. I truly don't watch it. But I'm assuming, as comedy matches go, that was a good comedy match. That was a good comedy match. As a pro wrestling match, for what I enjoy, I'll never watch that.
Yeah, again. That's not a match that I'm gonna go back and watch. You know, it's not like it was Naito versus Ibushi from night one that I'm gonna watch three times. But within the confines of comedy matches, this was like 4 3/4 5-star territory in the comedy realm, believe me.
Right. What did Meltzer give it? I'm kind of curious. I think he gave it like a star and a half or something like that.
You know what, I didn't read this past week's edition of the Observer, so I don't know that off the top of my head, but I would be curious to go and take a look and see how.
I'm almost certain it was low.
I was thinking to myself, how can he judge a match like how does he go about judging this match?
Again, I think he's judging matches and rating matches very similar to the way I would, in the sense of it really wasn't a pro wrestling match. And it was a pro wrestling match, and it was a pro wrestling match in the goofiest sense of a pro wrestling match. I think he kind of uses the mentality very similar to what we use, in the sense of the seriousness, and I put that in air quotes because it is pro wrestling. The sport element, the working ability, the
look, not for nothing, but if it doesn't take place in Japan and if there isn't a reverse Hurricane Rana, I don't give it. It's not 4 stars.
So ladder matches, any ladder match, he's automatically popping in an extra. Listen, you like what you like. Who knows? But I, what do I care? But yeah, I think he did, if I'm not mistaken reading it, he rated it pretty low. So anyway, look, whatever. Not my cup of tea. That is faux show.
So there's our thoughts on that match, folks. And I want to get back to this morning's show. We were having a little chat off the air about this. I don't think you like this as much as I did. And I will agree with you that perhaps this wasn't the best show as far as match quality. Not to say that there weren't some great matches, but I mean, we've seen some amazing matches this past week. However, I will say this. I think that this show featured the most interesting storytelling.
Well, possibly. Possibly.
I'll explain as we get into it.
Okay. So, again, what match are we up to here on this show? Because truth be told, I thought this show was probably one of the weaker shows going. Like I felt bad that we just watched this show and that's the show we're leading into to our show. Because I wasn't as hyped for this show as I was for other shows. Like, if we came off of the Elgin Omega match, I would be like, fucking New Japan's the best. I'm getting a tattoo on my ass. And, you know,
so, I mean, you know, that wouldn't surprise me, by the way. But,
but the show that we just saw, I don't know if I have a lot to say about it.
I think there's some very interesting things that happened. Okay, so we saw Yano versus Evil. Like we said, 1 minute, 33 seconds. Evil hits his finish. Easy, quick win for Evil, who now has 8 points in this tournament, I believe. So we move on to, Minoru Suzuki versus Tama Tonga.
Yes.
And at first glance, you wouldn't think that this would be my cup of tea, because there were some shenanigans and there certainly was seemingly endless brawling on the outside to kick this one off. And I was thinking to myself, my God, this should be, why isn't this a double disqualification by now? Because these two guys stayed on the outside and brawled for what felt like forever. And, of course, Suzuki, as he was walking down the aisle, I think Tama Tonga, I believe it was El Desperado, who he attacked and did a little Pearl Harbor job on Suzuki as he was following him to the ringside during his entrance. Mm-hmm. And they brawled and they brawled.
And they brawled
until finally we got to the count, the 20 count. And gets down to 19. Both guys get in the ring. And it occurred to me that, boy, you know, Tama Tonga, he's got a set of balls on him to pull a Pearl Harbor job on Suzuki. Like, the meanest guy in pro wrestling, he's going to pull that shit on? Boy, that takes some little bit of testicular fortitude, if I don't say so myself. And when the finish of this match happened, to me, that was the payoff for all of the brawling that happened on the outside. Tama Tonga tries to get the gun stun again on Suzuki. Suzuki gets him in the sleeper, gotch pile driver. And just the look on his face when Suzuki pinned Tama Tonga, he was just basically screaming in Tama Tonga's face like a madman as he pins him. To me, that was the payoff for all of the brawling. Just that viciousness from Suzuki. And for him to say, uh-uh, motherfucker, you're not pulling that ambush shit with me.
I would agree with that, Colin. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to concede that point to you that was nice. After, like you described, countless minutes of brawling in the fucking crowd. Is there anything worse in pro wrestling than brawling in the fucking crowd?
Normally, I would say no.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting here watching this match, and here's what I feel sorry for. I feel sorry for everyone else in that goddamn arena, because they can't see shit, right? Except for the 7 people that happen to be in vicinity of them chucking chairs. And not for nothing, if I have a full beer in my hand, and you take it and pour it on somebody, I'm punching you in the face. I swear to God.
If Suzuki takes it?
Well, I'm not punching him.
That's what I thought.
I'll fucking stick a boot in my ass. I don't know, man. Everything about that match just really fucking, I'm just like, come on.
Once the ending happened, it all made sense to me.
Like,
I appreciated it so much more.
No disqualification.
I hear you. And normally I'd be saying all this.
I thought that this match would have been a nice little test again. And again, he doesn't care. Great. This would have been a nice little test for Tama Tonga, right? This would have been a nice little test for Tama Tonga to have a legitimate pro wrestling match with Suzuki.
I agree with you, but remember, what is Tama Tonga? He's the slippery eel. He's going to sneak up behind you and
brawl for 20 minutes in the crowd like he's fucking Bruiser Brody?
You know what's funny? This match was only 10 minutes and 29 seconds.
Oh, it felt like a half an hour.
Right? That's what the brawling felt like.
It really did, because it means zilcho. Like, to me, it felt like it meant nothing. Like, it was just...
To me, it kind of enhanced Tama Tonga's persona as this Tongan badass. Because, again, you're going to try that with Suzuki? I mean,
He did it with Evil!
The gall on you.
But he did it with Evil!
Yeah, Damon, but this is Minoru Suzuki.
I understand that, but...
He'll snap your leg.
Okay, give me the best Tama Tonga match so far in this G1.
For some reason, the Elgin match stands out.
Again, was that 4? No.
I'd have to go back and watch it.
I don't think it was 4. Like to me, I'm seeing nonsense and 3 stars. Right?
I'll give this match 3 stars.
All right, look. I'm going to say something that's probably me talking out my ass, but I'm going to say it anyway because why the fuck not, right?
This is the PuroCast.
Right. Like, to me, brawling in the crowd, I can see that on a fucking indie show in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. To me, it doesn't... I can't say it doesn't take skill, and it doesn't take talent, and it doesn't... Like at the end of the day, they got to walk out of the fucking building, right? I just don't see the
sport.
Like, I just... Not even the sport. Like, I just, like, I don't know. It just seemed like 10 minutes of wasted time. It really felt like, to me, 10 minutes of wasted time. And I know these are the two biggest heel factions, and I know that these are, you know, two guys that are known for shenanigans and bullshit.
Suzuki-Goon versus Bullet Club. I mean, these are the two shenanigan factions.
I really wanted a match here. I'm sorry, Colin. I really wanted a match.
No, I feel you, but I felt like this was Tama Tonga kind of giving Suzuki a taste of his own medicine, because Suzuki is Mr. I'm going to take you through the crowd and throw you into chairs and get in the ring.
I'm going to be truthful, and we've seen this in the past. I can't say this is new for Suzuki, right?
Right.
We see this a lot with him. I'm not particularly a huge fan of that. I just find that, I don't know, man, that's that the brawling in the crowd just rubs me the wrong way. I really am not a fan of it.
I do understand.
And we got 10 minutes of it.
I know.
10 fucking
minutes.
Well,
no, we didn't get 10 minutes of it. The brawling in the crowd probably lasted for 5. It was a 10-minute match. Half of it was brawling. I know, but to me, it kind of furthered the character development of Tama Tonga. And
wait. Okay, so wait. So they brawl for 5 minutes. They're knocking chairs, and there's one time there's this little kid, and I think the dad grabbed him by like the scruff of the hair and pulled him out of the way because he would have gotten plowed. He would have gotten just murdered. I was like, watch out for the fucking kid. And then they brawl around on the other side, and then they go on the ramp, and then Suzuki's gonna put on a fucking ankle lock. I was just like, what? Like, this is nonsense. You just brawled for 10 minutes. Now you're going to put on an ankle lock on the ramp? I don't know. It just wasn't for me, man.
I'm not saying we're going to be talking about this at the end of the year. Like, this is match of the year caliber. No. It was what it was. I didn't mind it.
I hated it.
All right. That's fine.
I did. I really did. I hated it. I was... Like, if there's going to be a disappointment, it's going to be the fact that that was a real good test for Tama Tonga against Suzuki.
I know.
If they just had a match, I'm guaranteeing you it could be good, really good.
And maybe they will have a match down the road, a singles match again. But to me, you know, the real payoff was the look on Suzuki's face after this match. It's like, yeah, right, kid. You thought you were going to pull this over on me. I'm the baddest guy in pro wrestling, and now I'm going to go beat on a young lion just for fun because I'm a bad man.
Yeah, I guess. All right. I didn't like it. Waste of time for me.
I think that Minoru Suzuki should hold every world title in every promotion in pro wrestling. He should be WWE champion, NXT champion, Triple Crown champion.
All
right. That's just the air that he gives off. Like, he should just hold every title.
Fine, but can we keep it in the ring? I'm begging him. Just keep it in the ring.
Well, when will he get to that final at Sumo Hall, Damon? He'll see something there.
All right. There you go. All right. So that was that. You liked it better than I did. I was not a fan. You were a fan of it. All right.
You know what I think that you are a fan of, and most of our listeners are a fan of?
Porn?
Perhaps, but even more so than that, I think that they are a fan of getting authentic Japanese merchandise shipped straight to their door, directly from Japan. Of course, I'm talking about GaijinCollectibles.com, Damon.
Well, guess who just sent an inquiry over to the great people over at Gaijin Collectibles? That would be me, Colin. I sent over that, and I'll be sending over some payment as well for some merch shipped straight to my door. So, listen, I practice what I preach in the sense of I go to Gaijin Collectibles for my Pura merch, and I think that you should do the same because quality merch, it's the stuff direct from the promotions, you know, the tags. A big thing are those tags, Colin. I don't know if you know. You know, you want to get the authentic merch. You want to look for that New Japan tag. Well, they got it. Of course they do because they're getting it straight from the company itself. If you're into the All Japan, you can get the stuff there. Stardom, lots of stuff. Every promotion, they got it. Gaijin Collectibles. And, again, easy, simple, shipped straight from Japan to your doors. Where else would you go, Colin?
Certainly not Hot Topic.
No. You know, imagine that. What are you gonna get? My Chemical Romance T-shirt too,
and a Young Bucks T-shirt.
Yeah. I mean, I listen. Not that I've ever would ever step foot in a Hot Topic, but good for them for selling it there. But you know what? I'd rather get
my merch from Japan personally.
Me too, because we're fans of the promotions and we're fans of all the good people at Gaijin. So it's a win-win all the way around. So again, for me, it's a no-brainer. It's Gaijin Collectibles, Colin.
All righty, there we go. Moving on to our next match. I think this is a match that we're both going to agree on that was very good. I'm talking about Michael Elgin versus Sonata.
Yeah, I like this. I thought the crowd was a little unresponsive at times, and I think that hurt the match a little bit, and it kind of hurt me from getting as into it as I feel like I wanted to or as I should have. Michael Elgin, what a treasure.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's funny because his year certainly didn't start out like this. I mean, he was in the New Japan Rumble at the Dome. He won that. Then we were kind of saying, boy, what are they doing with Big Mike here? This is kind of puzzling. But boy, I'll tell you what. Once we got into the month of July and once we had the G1 special shows, he had that match with Omega there. And once we got into the G1 Climax 27, boy, Michael Elgin has been having quite the year of matches.
Match quality wise, like in this year, it's amazing that the quality of matches Michael Elgin has had. And I don't want to say they're going to go unnoticed, but we said it last week. It's like, okay, so next weekend, you know, you're going to see great matches during the semifinals and finals, right? And there's a very good possibility they could get lost in the shuffle. Even with that said, I think that Elgin's match against Omega, and we're going to hop all over, kids. Elgin's match with Omega is up there with one of my favorite matches of the year. It's just a fucking pleasure. Oh my goodness.
They have such a good chemistry together. I mean, every time I mean, all the matches that they've had throughout their New Japan careers. They had the ladder match at the Minion last year. They did have a G1 match last year as well, I believe. But boy, these past two, and especially the one from this past week, what a, like you said, what a pleasure to watch. And Elgin, see, the problem is he's having an MVP year with 10 other MVPs.
Right. Exactly right. I heard that somewhere before, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
A text message.
No, listen, you can use my material, Colin. It's okay. but that's the truth, right? I mean, think of how crazy that is. Like, he's having an MVP type year, and not Montavious, kids. He's having an MVP type
first
year.
First IWGP IC champion. You were there.
I was there. In a year where there's, you know, 7, 8, 9 different MVPs, which is mind-boggling. My head fucking explodes thinking of it. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
So we're coming off a big Mike win over Kenny Omega. That's a big win for him because we were clamoring for that Mike needed a win. Right?
And that was a win I had penciled in my mind because...
Really?
Yeah. It made sense for one of Kenny Omega's first U.S. title defenses to be against Michael Elgin.
He hasn't defended that title yet, you know.
It's the G1, Damon.
I understand, but, you know, we're...
When would he have defended it?
I don't know. Somewhere.
What?
It's been a month. Isn't there a 30-day rule somewhere, right? Don't you have to defend the title, or are we just forgetting about that?
No.
Right?
Look, he won this on the first weekend of July, right?
Right.
There were no shows after that until the G1 climax.
Come on. Just defend it somewhere. Come on.
No.
No, all right.
No, that's what this tournament is for, him to get opponents to defend against.
Understand, but I feel like you have to defend the opponent. All right, I'm just kidding, of course.
Not in July.
All right. What's the end of July? What is it? The 30th, right? Is it 31 days in July?
Today's the 30th.
No, but is there 31? He's got one more day in July.
I think tomorrow's August 1st, buddy.
No, it's the 31st. We got Monday's
the
31st.
Oh, yeah, it is 31st. Okay.
Thank God. Fucking work I got to get done before the month ends. All right, so my point being, Colin, so he gets a big win over Kenny Omega, right? That's a huge win for Michael Elgin, right? Kind of gets him back in the groove, kind of gets him back to the mix. He gets a big win over an established superstar.
Earns a future title shot, I think.
Absolutely. I think that's in the future, and that's a good thing. Again, a tremendous match. Where are you in this match? Star Wars.
I am in the 4¾ star territory.
You're not going 5, huh?
I don't feel 5.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair. I'm going to be truthful. I think it's a 5, dude.
You think it's a 5? Okay.
Yeah, really do. I really.
Hey, I thought Okada Elgin was a 5. So there you go.
All right. With that said, I can't believe. Like, seriously, in this day and age, we just went. It was a 5. Yeah, it was 5. 4-3. Yeah. Okay. Get back to my point, which is meaningless. But we just can wave a fucking. A tremendous match.
Can't wait until my children are watching wrestling and, like, if the opening match isn't a 6, like,
right,
the show is just a total disappointment.
Right. They're not levitating in the air like the fucking Matrix. We're going to be like, this is shit. My point, Colin, that we're trying to get to.
Jushin Liger's still there.
he's 106.
It's the New Japan Mars promotion.
Well, he's still got that mask. He's we'd be like, man, for 106 years old, that guy can really, you know, when he's called upon, Colin, at 106, he can deliver.
His 50th best of the Super Juniors.
Right? He still can't get a win. My point being is that he gets a win over Kenny Omega.
Right.
And he loses to Sonata.
What's wrong with that?
That's not weird to you?
Look, I guess if you look at it from that point, like, he just defeated, like,
the biggest guy in the company.
Right, and now he loses to Sonata. But again, anything can happen in the G1 climax. You know, you always use that old sports analogy and about that's what makes this tournament so great. And look at Sonata on this night in a sports context, he was the better man.
Okay, I'm down with that thinking. But sometimes, I don't know. Isn't there a progression? I didn't want to say 50-50 booking. I almost did. But it just kind of seems like, okay, right. So everybody's on a level playing field?
Kind of. I mean, what's Yano's purpose in the G1 climax? Steal wins from people, right?
Yep.
Anything can happen. On this night, Sonata was the better man. Maybe Big Mike had some stuff going on. Maybe his head wasn't in the game 100%. Maybe he was just exhausted from that Omega match.
Eric was sending him nudes or something.
Right. Look, and that would throw him off, I think, right?
I think so. Right? I would say so.
You never know. Maybe Sonata was just a little more focused on this night.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, here's the thing about that. And while I was quick to kind of, you know, cringe my nose and think, oh,
Cringe your nose?
Well, you know, kind of like just scrunch my face.
Okay.
Is cringe my nose? Would that be the word? That wasn't the word? Like, I'm just kind of rolling, just kind of like making a face. On the other hand, it does make watching these shows a lot more entertaining.
Right.
Right. I will say that. I will say that. Speaking of that, Colin, may I ask a question that you might not be prepared for, but I'm going to ask it anyways, and I'm going to stall so that you can find it.
Go for it.
Do we have any point standings for Yano and Zack Sabre Jr.?
I can give you those right now.
Yay.
As a matter.
So who's winning this dollar bet so far?
Okay, so Zack Sabre Jr. Mm-hmm. currently has 6 points.
Okay. Okay. What does Toro Yano have?
Toro Yano currently has 2 points.
Fuck me. No way. Really?
Yep. And I believe you said Yano would have more points than Zach once this was all said and done.
I did say that.
Which I thought was just ludicrous because it's Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it, because it's Zack Sabre Jr. All right, well, listen, what would you say? We're a little bit more than halfway done?
Yeah, like tomorrow, I think, I don't know if there's a show tomorrow. The first will be like at the official halfway point then.
Okay, I still got time for this. I'm not giving up that. Faith in Yano. I think there's some ball shots in our future.
Okay.
Right? All right, a little hair pull, a little ball shot. It's all we need. Good. Sneaky wins. So what we're looking for here. I'd be curious to see what they got, who they have. I wonder who they have later on. We can get into that later. But I wonder who they have on the docket so we can kind of forecast my dollar coming my way here.
No, I'm not going to tell you that.
Oh, come on.
No, we're not going to talk about that at all today. No, sorry. Oh, anyway. Fuck.
All right, so getting back to the show.
Getting back to the show at hand, yeah, Elgin versus Sonata, I thought it was very good. Happy to see a Sonata win again. I think it adds to that sport unpredictability factor of the G1 climax. Sonata locks in that Dragon Sleeper, hits the big moonsault. Let me ask you this question about Sonata, because it's on my mind. Look, he's got all the athletic tools, right?
Yeah.
But he's missing something. Now,
yes.
The question is, what is that something?
I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Okay.
And it plays into who he is and his character. And it's minor, but it's something that I see. And again, I'm no expert by any stretch of the imagination, mind you. But it's something that I did notice, and I noticed during this tournament. As strange as this sounds, I really feel like it's his facial expressions.
Really?
Because there aren't any.
He's kind of like Darth Vader.
Happy Vader, sad Vader. Right, but I don't care if he's selling. I don't care if he's hurt. I don't care if he's on offense. I don't care if he's entering the ring. I don't care if he just won the match. I don't care if girls are screaming at him. I don't care if guys are yelling at him. He's completely stone-faced. He's
the cold skull.
As I said, it plays into his character, but sometimes I think that might hurt him in the sense of, like, he is, like, facial expression wise, he's dry as toast. And if we are in agreement, he's there to tell a story, and he's there to, like, I really feel like a guy like Okada turned the corner when he learned his facial expressions.
Oh, and he has some of the best.
Right. And even Kenny Omega, even though sometimes people will say, oh, he's fucking over the top. It's still really that, like you need to use your body to tell the story of what's happening in the ring and the connection with the people. And I think your facial expressions have something to do with that. I really feel like that there is something there to that.
I think that's an excellent point. I really do.
Now, again, is that the key that unlocks Sonata? I don't know. I can't say that it is or it isn't, but it is one thing that I personally did notice that I think is something that's just a little off. Again, it's his character. He's going to flatline. He's not going to show any emotion, but I think emotion is important when we're talking about pro wrestling.
I'll tell you one thing. Seiya Sonata, I do not like his new getup, you know, when he comes out with the mask and the white tank top. No, I wanted to go back to the skull mask, the black baseball bats. Not digging this new, because you know what? And maybe this isn't a good point. Because Naito is certainly viewed as a babyface, and he's in a heel faction, but it makes Sonata, like, this new look makes him, like, look like a white meat babyface.
I think it's something that we just need a little bit more time. Maybe it's just a G1 thing. You know, I don't think necessarily this is going to be his look forever.
I hope so.
It's special for the G1.
I'm not feeling it.
No. I mean, here's the thing with us, too, though. I will say this. Any type of change, we are always the first to be like, no, go back to what you was. No.
We are very resistant to change.
We are. We absolutely are. No, go back. No, Hogan, go back to red and yellow.
That's right.
But
American badass with this garbage.
right, you know. So, that's us. But I think this match here with Elgin, I thought was good. I don't think it was great. I don't think it was. It's not in my top list of matches so far. It's somewhere in the middle, and that's fine because middle is still good. But I don't think it was upper echelon G1 stuff that we've seen so far.
But still, at the end of the day, I would give it 4 stars. I would.
I'm on the fence, actually.
Okay.
I'm kind of on the fence.
You're more in like the three and three quarter territory.
I got 4. I'm gun shy with the 4 stars now, Colin. I'm very self conscious.
that really hit a nerve and affected
really
you.
Really, that guy rattled me
in a very profound way. Obviously,
really did. He hit a raw nerve with me. Am I going 4?
I don't care. I'm going 4. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Anytime Seiya Sanada is in the ring with someone like Michael Elgin, I'm all in.
I'll go 4. What the fuck? Why not? 4 it is. Nah, you know what? 3 3/4. Fuck it. 3 3/4.
Can't
three
go that full 4. He's scarred now. Yeah, thanks, you are, guy on
ruined
Reddit.
Pro wrestling for me. Thanks.
All right. Moving on to our semi-main event. Satoshi Kojima versus Kenny Omega. Damon, I love this match. And wow. I'll tell you why. Because this told such a great story of Kenny Omega coming out. He's got the black t-shirt on. He is just totally giving Kojima the old hand wave. And I think he even said something before the match into the camera. The audio was pretty low, so I couldn't hear. But he was talking about how like this was just a house show or something like that.
Yeah,
like, he was making no tights. No bones about it. He was hand waving this. Like even in the match when Kojima tried to do a plancha on the outside. Did you see that when he just walked away?
He's like, he did a plancha? He had a dive? Yeah, he didn't see that.
But somewhere at the midway point of this match, Kojima literally chops the black t-shirt off of Kenny Omega and sends him into big match no t-shirt Kenny mode. I loved it. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, I did like that. I think there are a lot of people that were upset by that comment.
Really?
Yeah, by the and again, I got it. I felt like I got it.
Wait. By what?
Oh God, let me explain. So okay. I got it. I felt like, okay, he's coming out in and as almost a rib to people like us, like, oh my God, he's disrespecting Kojima. He's he's wearing his goofy tights and he's wearing his T-shirt. He's not taking it seriously.
Right, he's got
and
the Ultimate Warrior trunks on.
Right, exactly. You know, the Young Buckish, you know, nonsense tights. But I got it. Like, I felt like that was the rib. Like, that was, and it wasn't like an insider rib. It was more like, he's going into this disrespecting Kojima, thinking it's going to be an easy night. And again, Kojima kind of pushed him to, you know, and ripped the shirt and forced him to be a more serious Kenny. And even in the beginning spots of the matches, like he's doing that. Remember, he used to do that chainsaw forearm rub on the face.
Oh yeah, and like the do you want to hear the theory behind that really quick?
Yeah, like he shaved his arms. It was like stubble, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. He would shave his arms, and like the stubble would act as like a very coarse material on your skin.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, I got it. Like, I kind of got that. I really didn't think I needed to be hit over the head with that, but people needed to be hit over the head with that. But I looked online, classic board, a thread of, you know, the disrespect. And I was like,
that was the story.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that was plain as day, but apparently people didn't feel the same way. I will say this though, Colin. There is something to be said about New Japan and the way that they book their veterans and their legends.
You mean they lose?
They lose
all the time.
Often. Yeah. It's like something about that. It kind of, I don't know. It does rub me a little bit wrong way. Now, I get that there are tons of new fans, and there are tons of people that, honestly, let's be truthful, they don't give a shit, right? They don't give a shit about what happened in 2006 and 2003, and you know, they just don't. And I kind of feel that sometimes that booking caters to that mentality. There is something to be said about a guy getting older and a guy constantly losing. Nagata, it feels like they're just dragging him out the pasture.
Yeah, you know? That's how they treat their veterans whenever they announce that it's their last Best of the Super Juniors or their last G1. That's the booking. They're going to lose every match, you know, until they get that one big win at the end.
But that's with this group. That's what these guys.
Yeah.
Like in the past, it was never that way. I mean, fucking Ricky Choshu went on a run. Ricky Choshu had his last Dome appearance where he wrestled four times and he lost once. Wrestled four times on the show, Colin, and he lost one match.
That's crazy.
Oh, okay. Is it?
Well, no. I'm just saying, in judging by today's booking, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, Nagata's not getting four wins. He'd be lucky if he walks away four wins in his fucking G1.
And here's the other thing, expanding upon that thought. I was talking about this, we were talking about this last week on the show, and I forget who it was, I apologize. Somebody on Twitter, I believe, said like, oh, well, what do you expect? Like, Nagata to go on this, like, big miracle run? Well, no, not necessarily.
It's not like it hadn't happened before.
It's not like I'm saying I want him to go to the finals, but I want him to be credible and get some big wins. I'm not saying he has to win every match, just be credible and have a good last run. Get a few big wins under your belt, not no wins.
Right. He still has no wins, right?
He's at zip. He's at goose egg.
I mean, Juice Robinson has more wins.
Juice has got 2 points.
Right? I mean, is there anybody else, if you have it in front of you? And nobody else has zilch, right?
Zero wins?
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Because Elgin got his wins.
Kojima has 0 points.
Okay. Okay. What does that tell you?
Kojima
doesn't deserve to have 0 points.
No.
I don't know. Something about that that's pretty glaring to me. Like that, like the two people who don't have any points are Kojima and fucking Nagata.
Yeah, the two legends.
Okay, I don't think that's by accident. I don't know that. Again, I'm not saying that they go on a Ricky Choshu run.
No,
I'm not saying that. I'm just a win. Couldn't pick a fucking win. I mean, we're halfway through it. No points for both of them. For both of them.
Yeah.
Right. So if I got a little fucking finger to wag, I got to be honest with you. New Japan does a shitty job with their legends. I'm going to flat out fucking say it.
For whatever reason, that's just how they book them in these tournaments.
Yeah. I don't. There are people that are upset with that. There are people that are upset with that. And truth be told, I'm kind of leaning that way. Kind of leaning that way.
Getting back to the match at hand, though, what did you think? Did you enjoy this as much as I did, like, the story-wise?
What match are we talking about?
Kojima versus Omega.
Of course, that's the match we're talking about. Silly me. I did. I liked it. I thought it was fine. I thought, I don't think we got 100% Kenny, but I think he was playing that up. Again, I think the first half of the match was him playing up the non-serious Kenny. And again, let's keep in mind that he's coming off that match with Elgin that was unfucking believable. So I'm not going to hand wave anything Kenny Omega does at this point. As long as I can get those type of matches every once in a while, but I think you're right. Here's what I'm doing, Colin. I'm coming around to your point of view of that this show did a decent job of telling some stories.
See.
I'm coming around to your train of thought.
Told you, once we got into it, you would definitely have a better understanding of what I mean.
All right, I understand. And I'm there. It's still not one of my favorite shows.
No, match-wise, were there other shows during this tournament that had much better matches? Yeah, absolutely. But this, don't sleep on this one, kids. Oh. This had plenty of stuff to sink your teeth into.
Oh, I think my spleen just ruptured when you fucking said that.
I apologize, but I had to. So there you go. Kenny Omega picking up the win over Satoshi Kojima. Kojima 0, Omega 8.
Yeah, so, well, you kind of knew Omega would be high up on the charts. That's for sure.
Moving along to the main event of the evening. Juice Robinson takes on Kazuchika Okada. Damon, one day you're doing jobs in Orlando on NXT, and the next day you're in the main event with the greatest pro wrestler in the world in the G1 Climax. I thought that this was a great match, possibly Juice Robinson's best match of his career, possibly the pinnacle of his career. I mean, think about it. He's in there with Okada. Yeah. Like, we were burying him a year ago on this podcast, just saying, why is this guy here? What's the point of this? And here he is having a great match with Okada. I loved everything about this match.
There are a lot of people that circled this one that I know. They circled this match and they were excited for it. And I don't even think that this is like this is the pinnacle to date, right? And I think that there's a higher mountain to climb for Juice.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that's pretty exciting, actually. I'm definitely into Juice. I thought this match was really good. I don't know if it was one of the best Okada matches, right?
No.
I don't know if this is one of the best matches of the G1, right?
No.
I would put it somewhere comfortably in the middle. But for Juice, like, the excitement that I got from this match was the idea and the prospect of this is a big time match for Juice. This is a big spotlight match, a damn good match to boot. Again, you're in there with Okada, so it's hard to do. It's hard to have a bad match at this point with the guy. And when people talk about like learning opportunities, right? We hear that a lot. Feedback that we get from our listeners about people having and taking advantage of learning opportunities. I think this match, more than anything, more than the actual quality of the match, like what got me juiced, pardon the pun, was the fact that like you could see that this match is like one of those corner markers, one of those fucking put a flagpole in it, and we can look back 3 years from now, 2 years from now, and be like, oh, remember that fucking G1 match against Okada? That's one of those things where things start even further. You know, like I'm more excited about the future of Juice now than I ever have after this match.
Absolutely. Right? You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's where I got the excitement from this match. That, okay, like to me, you could see it. You could almost see it as the match is happening, how Juice is going it, this is going to that match, kids, make sure that you download it or you save it or you have it on your hard drive or whatever the case may be, because you're going to look back at this at that moment and you're going to be like, okay, there's one of those turn the corner thing, kind of similar to New Year Dash, right, where he gets the pinfall and he goes on and challenges Goto and the Naito stuff and you know, those little fucking flagpoles in the ground, this is going to be one of them. I really feel like when we look back on his career, this is going to be one of them.
In all of Okada's G1 matches so far, there has been this reoccurring theme right at the very end. And I don't know if you've noticed it. We saw it in this match where it looks like at the last minute, Okada's opponent is going to get the better of him, right? And like you're rooting for the opponent at this point, like, oh my god, he's going to do it. He's going to be the first black mark on Okada's mad tear that he's on. But like at the last second, Okada, nope, I'm going to catch you in a German suplex, Rainmaker, 1-2-3. I love that. And we saw that here where Okada's he's ready to give that final Rainmaker, that final blow to Juice, and Juice just punches him right in the face.
Right.
And he goes for his finisher, the pulp friction. And my God, it looked like he was going to fit that. It looked like he was going to hit that. But oh, Okada catches him in a German Rainmaker, 1-2-3. And he continues on this streak of his, if you will.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, undefeated, right?
Yeah, he is undefeated. Damon, I'll tell you what. There's a part of me that thinks Okada's walking away from this G1, like as G1 champion.
Be pretty amazing, wouldn't it?
He's got 10 points right now. And like the magic number for most people to get to the finals is 12.
So all he needs is one more win.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, not mathematically, right?
No, but no, no.
That's the sweet spot. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the sweet spot, usually. 12 points.
Huh.
5 wins, 0 losses.
Huh. Who does he have around the corner? Do you know? I mean, obviously, he's got Omega on the semifinal night, right? And that match, you know, the trilogy.
Right.
That should be fucking amazing. And you know, I know that we talked about last week how we were hoping maybe possibly we would have Okada and Omega go, you know, undefeated going into that match, but that's not going to be the case. So do you think Okada picks up a loss somewhere?
Well, let's see. His next opponent, which is going to be on August 2nd, Wednesday, August 2nd, that's the next B-Block show. He is going to be facing Tama Tonga.
If Tama Tonga gets a fucking win.
I do not think that is going to happen. I don't.
Oh.
I think he's definitely going to pull some slippery eel shit, and there's going to be that moment where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. But that's happened in every Okada match thus far, and he comes out victorious at the end of it each and every time.
Before I make a prediction, who else has he got? So he's got Tama Tonga.
He's got Tama Tonga coming up on August 2nd. Next B-Block show after that, I believe, is Saturday, August 5th, and he has Evil.
That one scares me, actually.
Well, here's another thing you have to take into consideration. Whoever beats Okada, you have to assume, like, if he gets beaten in this tournament, whoever beats him, you've got to assume that they are going to be in line for a future IWGP heavyweight title shot, maybe at Destruction or King of Pro Wrestling, unless your name is Tomohiro Ishii, of course.
right. Then that goes out the window. We totally disregard that.
Right.
But, all right, but so we can assume, right, Colin, I think safely assume that we're kind of focusing on Evil Suzuki, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so because Evil defeated Suzuki. I think he's going to chase the Never title, even though Suzuki obviously gives no fucks about the Never title since he never brings it down to the ring with him.
Right. Did you hear Omega, the one show? I forget which match it was.
Yeah,
he's like, oops, I forgot my title. Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble.
He said, oh, Jesus Christ, I forgot the belt.
I'm going to get in trouble.
That's the greatest.
All right, so Evil's losing there, right? Because I think a safe bet is we're looking at Suzuki Evil Never title, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and again, by the good grace of God, there's no fucking way Tama Tonga is getting a win over Okada, right?
I cannot envision a Okada-Tama Tonga title match. I just can't.
The streak being ended by Tama Tonga.
No.
That's not happening, right?
No, they might as well have had it ended by Yano if that was going to be the case.
I would have preferred it.
boy, some shade being thrown towards Tama Tonga.
No shade at all. No, it's no shade. No fucking shade. No. He's the best.
At least Tonga Loa is not in the tournament.
Thank God. Who else? So, again, we're predicting 2 more wins for Okada, right?
Okay, so we've got Evil on August 5th, next B-Block show after that, Tuesday, August 8th, and Kazuchika Okada has Minoru Suzuki, who is the Never champion.
Right. What do you think?
Do I see Suzuki defeating Okada? Huh.
That'd be 2 losses for Suzuki against Okada, by the way.
2 losses. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did have that excellent match from the New Beginning earlier this year.
You think Suzuki gets a win back? That would keep Omega and Okada tied.
If Okada's going to get a loss, I think that's the place you've got to do it against Suzuki.
Because the next match is Omega, right?
Next show after August 8th, next B-Block show. Yeah, that's Kenny Omega.
So they're tied. They both have a loss. Away we go. 3rd match in the trilogy.
And not only that, but Suzuki is one of those guys who, okay, yeah, I can see that as a future like King of Pro Wrestling main event. Okada, Suzuki, you know what I mean?
All right. We have the... You know, we have their trilogy.
If he's going to lose to anybody, it's going to be Suzuki.
Okay. I agree. I think so. I if gun to my head, that's where we get, that's where the magic happens with Okada Omega.
Mind you, I'm not convinced of it either.
I'm not convinced of anything, but like us talking about it out loud does make sense.
It does make sense.
They could definitely do that because he ain't losing the fucking Tama Tonga. And again, if we're looking at evil, to me that he's lined up for
Suzuki,
and again, we need to get Okada a loss. That would make sense. Suzuki gets his win back, but more importantly, they're tied, so that semifinal match means a whole hell of a lot.
In that case, Omega has to keep winning as well.
Well, yes, but what does he have? What does he do? Do you have that in front of you?
All right, let's go through this. Give me a moment here.
All right, I'll shuck and jive.
Shuck and jive. No. So Omega on Wednesday, August 2nd, right? That's the next B Block show. Mm-hmm. Kenny Omega is going to be taking on Evil. I don't think that Evil's going to be chasing the U.S. title. I just don't see that.
Right, I think, again, we're looking at Kenny and Elgin, if anything.
August 5th, he's got Juice.
Now he's beating Juice.
Damn. I kind of had Juice penciled in my mind, though, because that would be an interesting title defense, like, on American soil, I'm saying. Like, Kenny Omega.
I'm not saying that, but you're saying, that's not even saying that can't possibly happen. It could still happen.
Probably not,
I think Omega wins, though.
And then the last match before Okada for Kenny Omega is Sonata.
So Kenny Omega's got to beat two Los Ingobernables members.
That's right. He's got to be Evil Sonata, and he's got to be Juice. Interesting.
I think that can happen.
Yeah, I think that can happen, too. If I'm booking this, I think that's a great idea. Have Omega and Okada with one loss each. And then, you know, their final is going to mean something.
That semifinal is going to be tremendous.
Oh,
that semifinal is going to be tremendous.
I just wonder what they're going to do because, okay, so Okada beats Omega the first time at the Dome. Second time they go to a draw. I mean, you can't have them go to a draw again, right?
I think Kenny wins.
Think Kenny wins? Okay.
I think Kenny wins, gets rid of Okada in the tournament. But that means Omega then goes on to the finals, right?
To face Tetsuya Naito.
That's who we had penciled, right?
That is who he had penciled.
Okay. That's what I'm going with. Now, again, there's a million other factors. I'm sure Fale is going to be in it. Everybody's pretty much bottlenecked right now with points, right?
Naito has 6 points.
Okay. Give me that block. Do we know who's got what right now?
Yes, we do. Block? So Ishii, 6 points. Naito, 6 points. Tanahashi, 8 points.
You figure, I'm thinking it's Tanahashi, Naito. So yeah. The two semifinal matches you're looking at are Okada, Omega, Naito, Tanahashi.
Correct.
Naito gets his win back, gets him to the finals. Omega gets his win back.
Omega gets his win, period.
Win, correct. And then we got Omega, Naito, with Naito taking the win.
Right,
is that what we're looking at?
I think so. Let me just go through the points for this A block really quick. So, okay, Ishii 6 points, Naito 6, Tanahashi 8, Yoshihashi 2.
Okay.
Chief J, Goto, 6 points.
In the mix.
Yeah, that's right. He's in the mix. Zack Sabre Jr., 6 points. Kota Ibushi, 4 points. And Bad Luck Fale, 6 points.
Do you know? Okay, so that's B block. Give me A block. Or was that A block?
That was A block. You want me to give you the points again for B block?
Give me B block, please.
Okay, B block. Juice is at 2 points. Okada, 10 points. Kojima, 0 points.
Madness.
Omega, 8 points. Elgin, 4 points. Sonata, 6 points. Suzuki, 6 points. Tama Tonga, 4 points. Yano, 2 points. Evil, 8 points.
Evil's got to fall apart.
He has to.
Yeah, he's got to fall apart.
Imagine if Evil's in the final.
That'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. All right, so we're sticking with that, right? That's how we're going to see this played. What's surprising to you right now? What number kind of sticks out to you like, huh, head scratcher? I'll tell you mine.
Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Kota Ibushi with 4 points, and everybody was so anticipating his return, and a lot of people clamoring for that Ibushi Omega final, which I never thought we were getting at the end of this, but...
No, I knew that.
Still, a lot of people wanted it.
Well, I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that, you know, Omega did that interview with Dave and Brian. We're first name basis now.
Naturally.
Where, you know, he even hinted at stuff that we had talked about many times on our show. You know, the gaze. You know, the Ibushi-AJ match where, again, Omega didn't get involved, but there was that camera shot and the gaze and the look and the... And that whole thing that they apparently impromptu did and the production team found and caught, which I find amazing, that's 2 years old.
Right. That's from 2015. Was that from the G1, actually? Or was that from their invasion attack match? I can't remember.
It was a match. Yeah.
It was a match. We're sure of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I forget what show, but it wasn't G1.
Okay. That was invasion attack then.
But... Again, we're still talking about that gaze, and people are still kind of fantasy booking around that gaze.
Hey, that's one of the things New Japan does best. Little things they like do. That, they go
the
on and right.
Yeah, those payoffs. We're still to this fucking day on July 30th, 2017, still hanging our fucking hats on that gaze. Everybody wants it, and I think the reason why is because, you know, listen, not for nothing, they've had that match before, and it was amazing. Right, and they want to see it on a bigger stage. They had it at DDT, and it was a big stage at the time for DDT.
It was 2012.
Okay, that was 5 fucking years ago.
And we're both still... of these guys are, quite frankly, better wrestlers at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. So everybody's kind of everybody wants this. Everybody fucking wants this. And again, Omega made mention to it. You know, so again, that kind of re-sparked the talk and the chatter about it.
Are you saying everybody wants some, and you want some too?
I want some too. The way the stockings run up and down.
No. Don't take them off.
Leave them on. No, a little bit to the right.
I'll pay you for it. What the fuck?
Good job, Diamond Dave.
He should be in this tournament.
Diamond Dave should be in this tournament. All right. So anyway, that's what everybody is hoping will happen based off of that interview, based off what happened in the past. 4 points for Ibushi, a little bit of a disappointment. Will he be involved in some way? Maybe he fucks over Kenny in the final. Who knows? I don't think that will happen, but we'll see. But we'll see.
While we're on the subject of Kota Ibushi, what do you think of his loss to Bad Luck Fale from the 29th?
Caught in the fall, my friend.
That's right. And I don't know if you know the answer to this question off the top of your head, but somebody asked us on Twitter, like, has there ever been anyone who's kicked out of the Bad Luck Fall? And for the life of me, I can't remember.
I'm guaranteeing you somebody did, either Tanahashi or an Okada. Somebody had.
It'd have to be one of those two. I don't think it was Yoshihashi.
I can't think of it off the top of my head, to be quite frank, but... I'm sure somebody has, but the best part about it is that your ass goes up in it, you're eating it, and I protecting finishes. I'm a huge fan of protecting the finishes. Love it. So I'm okay if you get caught in it, you get caught in it.
Do you think a lot of people are feeling a bit Shibata'd with Ibushi? Because you know there are some people out there who had Kota Ibushi running away with this whole thing.
No doubt.
There's always a few in the crowd.
Oh, I think there's more than a few. I think there's plenty of people that were looking at their pick-ems right now, a little disappointed at 4 points for Ibushi, that's for sure.
Let me ask you about a few matches that took place during the course of the past week. A match that I really enjoyed, the main event from the 29th, Ishii versus Naito. You know, whenever these two get in the ring, I think that you know you are in store for something special, especially when the match gets to like that final home stretch. These guys just kick it into another level. And we saw Ishii pick up the win there with the Brainbuster, and my first thought was, boy, there's a great briefcase defense for Naito. down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Naito, you know, the pinfalls that Naito has taken, I'm not going to lie, have been a little shocking to me. Like when they
not
occur.
To me.
No?
No, because I'm thinking again, in my mind, I could be way off. I have Naito walking away with this whole thing. I think this is his year, and the two guys that beat him are two guys that make the most sense to be challenging for the briefcase in
safe
future
safe
events.
Defenses.
Yeah, I mean, Ishii, defensive. Fall A, those are his two losses. I mean, there's two safe defenses for you.
That's a good point. I think it's that's a safe statement. Safe statement. I like the match a lot. I think it's in the upper mix, right? I think it's in the upper favorites of mine for the tournament. Yeah, you're right. These two guys to get together. I mean, what the fuck did we expect? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and that's I don't want to say that's a shame, but like expectations are so high. Like the bar is set so fucking high sometimes that I feel like even good matches, not that we're hand waving, but it's just like, how could you discuss? We'd be here for 6 hours talking about these matches.
It's like, how much more blacker could this album cover be? And the answer is none more black.
Right. It's craziness, but this match was good. Definitely a four, probably in four and change. Right?
Oh, I'm going 4.75.
Wow, really that high?
Yeah, I thought it was better than their G1 special match. As a matter of fact,
wow. I think it was in the same boat, and I think I was in 4.5 for that. So I'm probably right there. Oh, wait, let me ask you a question. Not to switch gears.
No.
Do you think Elgin Okada, Elgin Omega, better than Long Beach?
I'm kind of hesitant because their Long Beach match was so damn good.
That was maybe one of, arguably my favorite match of the Long Beach weekend.
I don't think I'm prepared to say that this one was better. I really don't, because I hesitated there, and I feel like I have to go back and I have to watch them back to back now.
I'm going to tell you flat out. This one was better than Long Beach. And Long Beach I loved. I think they beat Long Beach. Yep, I think they did.
Hey, that's a fair assessment. I'm certainly not going to argue with you, but I mean, they're pretty damn close in terms of quality.
This match, some of the fucking... That fucking... What was it? The Steiner... not the Steiner Plex, but the pile driver spot.
Right.
What was Steiner called? The Steiner... Wow, what does he fucking call it? Like Scott Steiner, I just remember doing it. All this, oh, that fucking pile. Like he does that the knee strike, and then he just crushes Elgin. And Elgin, for his credit, the way that he just went, he got his ass up, and his feet were fucking unbelievable. That move. That move. I say it all the time. I jumped out of my fucking chair. And I squealed like a 12-year-old girl. Couldn't believe it. I thought he was dead. I thought he killed Elgin.
We saw a nice burning hammer here from Elgin as well to pick up the win.
So I'll give you a little fucking something. Just give you guys a little insight.
I knew this was coming.
There's one point. I forget what match it was where Elgin was wrestling somebody. And I was talking with him. And I was like,
it was Naito.
Was it the Naito match? Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because he didn't hit a burning hammer, and I told him, I was like, I want to see some fucking burning hammers this weekend, and he said back, if I hit a burning hammer, that motherfucker isn't kicking out. And I just remember him hitting that burning hammer, and there it is, no fucking kick out for Omega in this case. And I just remember that, like, I looked back at that fucking text, and I was just like, fucking right, fucking Big Mike hitting the burning hammer. That was beautiful. I think that was better. I think this match was better than
this match was longer for sure. This match went about, it was 24 minutes 39 seconds. I think their G1 their Long Beach match rather was about 15 minutes.
Yeah, he's probably about right. All right, I know we're jumping around a little bit. Get us back on track, boss.
Well, also, while we're on this same night, which is July 27th, that's when the Elgin Omega main event took place, another match that I really enjoyed from that night, because we got to see a different side of Okada, the cocky, arrogant side, was the Kojima match.
Yeah.
I love heel Okada when he's taunting the old veterans and Tenzan's getting in the ring because he's all fired up. And did you hear the crowd, too?
Yeah.
They're chanting for Tenzan. Boy, they wanted to see Okada get his ass kicked.
They wanted to see a fucking veteran get a win. That's
yeah.
what they wanted.
Right. They don't get that too often.
No, they certainly don't. Yeah, I like Prick Okada. Prick Okada's great. Prick Okada is like Prick Tanahashi. Both great. When Tanahashi has a little bit of a fucking jerk off in him, that's great. Love it.
I'm gonna make go ahead.
I was gonna say about Okada.
Right.
To me, I don't know what it is, but do you see him acting a little bit more? He acts a little bit more hyped up. You know what I mean?
I was thinking that. Well, yeah, when he comes out, when he makes his entrance, he's all. It looks like he had 10 cups of coffee before he came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looks like me before the fucking Purecast.
Right. You've got your monster.
Got my monster. I got fucking Brittany Fox playing in the background. I'm ready to fucking roll. Yeah, he's out shaking barricades and shit. He's the fucking ultimate warrior. He's the fucking ultimate rainmaker.
He should come out the girl school.
Long way to love. It's awesome. Yeah, he does seem more fucking hype, that's for sure.
Wouldn't it be something if on that on their August 12th match, I guess it is, between Okada and Omega, wouldn't it be something if we saw a little Bret Hart, Stone Cold, WrestleMania 13 action where the roles kind of change places mid-match, or even a little Rocky IV action, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Look, Omega right now is poised and set for a decent babyface run.
Yes.
I mean, he's already a fucking baby. Let's be honest here. You know, he's too sweeting everybody down the goddamn ramp. Yeah, you know, he's got girls squealing for him, guys squealing for him.
Yeah.
You know,
you're squealing for him.
I'm squealing. We all squeal for Kenny. He's a fucking babyface at this point, right? I mean, for Christ's sake.
I'd love to see more Prick Okada, though. Like, more arrogant, smiling, I'm the best and I know it, Okada.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to think, has there ever been a dynamic? I mean, maybe back in the day with Terry Funk, right? But even when Terry Funk was, like, super over babyface in All Japan, it was mostly he was fighting the Bruiser Brodies, the Stan Hansons, the Abdullahs. Like, it really wasn't a Japanese feud, right? It wasn't like the fans were against Jumbo and fucking Tenryu, right? I wonder if there's ever been a really serious, hardcore Japanese gaijin where the gaijin is the fucking big-time babyface. I mean, big-time babyface against a Japanese heel. And the fans were all in on the gaijin.
I'm sure there's somebody out there listening right now that is like has some match on their mind.
I mean, not even match. Like, I'm talking like a big time fucking program,
right?
Big time fucking program. Like we're talking Dome. Has there ever been that, guys and gals? Has there ever been that? That would be something. What you're asking for right there is, dare I say, a complete culture change within pro wrestling in Japan. Because traditionally it's always been, we're bringing over the Americans, we're bringing over the foreigners, we're bringing over the British so that they can fucking lose to the Japanese guys. And so that's what Japanese pro wrestling is fucking built on.
Look, I don't know what Okada and Omega have in mind for their third match, but all I'm saying is, wouldn't it be something if they go into this, and I think most of you would agree that these two guys are the two best pro wrestlers in the world right now. If any two guys could go in, have a match, manipulate the crowd to change midway match, I think these two guys can do it. I really do.
But I think that's a tall task, man. That is a very fucking tall task.
It is.
Because what you're asking for is, do me a favor, guys, while you're in that ring and having that great match, change the culture of Japanese pro wrestling for me.
I'm saying Okada can get people booing him in Sumo Hall against Kenny Omega. He can. I think he could do it.
I'm not doubting it. I mean, but I will say that, like, so in a year where they've had two of arguably the greatest matches of all time, we're asking for a huge shift imbalance. Again, we're talking at our asses here, everyone, but that's what we do.
I'm just talking about this match.
Right, but that match, again, what you're asking for is, hey, Japanese crowd in Sumo Hall, get behind the Canadian.
Hey, they don't call Okada the master of puppets for nothing. I don't think they call him that, by the way.
Well, you just did.
There you go.
All right, look, that's an interesting thought. I don't know if they can. Listen, if anybody can do it, they can do it. If anybody can do it, they can do it. But that's a tall task. That is a tough tall task. That is a tall tough task. That is a triple T.
One other point I wanted to make before we talk about some of the upcoming matches, you know, we were talking about how Kenny Omega, like, it's basically a babyface for all intents and purposes when he comes out. Boy, to me, biggest babyface in New Japan right now is Tetsuya Naito. Like, his entrance during that Ishii match, like, did you see when he was fist bumping with that little kid?
Yeah.
Like, Tetsuya Naito is just, he's the biggest face in the company.
Yeah.
The reaction for him
seconds ago. Yeah, but you're right.
I think it's Naito. I think Naito, if just by a sliver, kind of beats out Omega for biggest babyface, who's supposed to be a heel.
Look, I just don't get it, Colin. I don't know where they're going with this Naito thing.
2017, Damon. Still, what is this? He's got these handcuffs on.
Yeah. What? I don't understand. He's like taking his time getting to the ring. Fucking Larry Zbyszko. Everybody's wearing the fucking hats.
I will say this though, he needs to get a new suit. I'm sick of that burgundy.
You don't like the
job.
Burgundy one?
Nah, I'm over it. It's nice, but I'm over it. He needs a new one. Maybe a white one.
You like the white one? He has the white one.
Since he's a baby face, he could come out in all white.
Fun fact. You wanted a fun fact?
Sure.
My order from Gaijin Collectibles.
Uh huh.
It's going to be a Los Ingobernables cap.
Oh, wow. If I would have told you 2 years ago when we were recording this, Damon's going to be one of those guys in the audience with the fucking LIG cap on.
It's the white one with the black God. Trim.
What a mark.
I know. I know. Seriously. You know, I'm the fucking worst. Fucking worst. What, thousands of dollars they fucking spend a year. I'm just a big fucking mark. All right. Where are we going now, Colin? We got some previews. We got some shows coming up here.
Yeah, I want to do a brief preview for, first of all, the August 1st show. Since we have no show tomorrow, we get a little break, which I like because our show comes out on Sunday night, Monday afternoon. Gives the folks a chance to take a little breather, listen to some Purocast, and catch up, right?
I agree.
Okay, so August 1st, and this is the A block. First match, Yoshihashi, Bad Luck Fale. Mm. I see a Bad Luck Fall in Yoshihashi's future.
How many points does Yoshihashi have? Two, right?
Yeah, he's only got two. And Fale's got like eight.
Yeah, Fale needs to pick up some losses. Let's be truthful here. Because Fale ain't making it to the fucking finals or the semis. Sorry.
Can
Yoshihashi pick up a win here?
He could, but you got to remember that I believe Yuji Nagata's last G1 match is against Fale, and that would kind of be cool to have Yuji Nagata spoil Fale.
Good point. Colin with the fucking good points this show.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking ahead. I'm always thinking ahead, planning, looking at long-term booking, Damon.
I'm instant gratification, Colin.
Yeah, I know. You, boy. You I want Okada Omega at the G1 special. God damn it.
Remember that? Remember that?
Oh, do I ever. Almost got into a blood feud over that one. Christ.
Push my buttons. Yeah.
I want it now.
I want it now. Saving Schmavings.
I could be dead.
I could be dead tomorrow. Line up the women and the drinks.
King Damon of House McDonald.
Entertain me. Imagine what it's like living with me.
Oh, your poor wife. God. She's like winking at people when they, you know, when you introduce her. She's like, help me. It's like the secret wink, like the save me wink. I met her one time. She picked us up from the airport, and I was like, "Boy, this woman seems a bit distressed."
Please, that was a calm night. She's like, "Oh, No, that's nothing.
I'm trying to text her. Are you being held hostage? Just delete this text after. Yoshihashi. Back to Yoshihashi.
Please,
possibly getting a win over Fale.
I'm saying no. Fale wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. Makabe Fale versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Zack's got to fucking lose here, Colin. And what a perfect opportunity with a guy like Makabe who could probably use a win, right? Well, he's got like 4 points as of this podcast.
You know, I just had his
numbers up.
I just had his numbers up, and now I don't.
I'm sorry. But he could use a win.
Yeah, and 4 points. Like, you're right. 4 points.
4 points. There we go. See? And Zack needs some losses, Colin. So I'm going with the Makabe win. Big Makabe win. You're not getting past.
That's right.
Not getting past.
The official mascot of the New Japan PuroCast.
That's right.
Togi Makabe or Toji Makabe, whichever you prefer.
By the way, fucking delicious chips that guy has.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he has his own, like, potato chips right? They taste like vanilla and, like, coffee. It sounds gross me describing it, but it's, like, a flavor unlike any other flavor I've ever had in my life. Like, it's just, like, it's almost like a sweet potato chip. Fucking great. I can't wait to get back to Japan because I'm buying 7,000 of them. I'm clearing out a store of them.
I do love sweet potatoes.
But not like a sweet potato, like a healthy sweet potato. Make no bones
about
it.
Oh, we don't want anything healthy.
Oh, no. These things will fucking stop your heart. No, I'm talking like a potato chip, but a sweetness to it. Like a almost like a vanilla taste.
Is it too sweet?
Too sweet, Colin. Too sweet. All right. What else we got?
Yuji Nagata versus Tomohiro Ishii. Man, I can't wait for that.
That's going to be good. Yuji Nagata, how fucking underrated has that guy been?
Oh,
The poor guy's got the suction cups out. You see his back?
Yeah.
All fucking, whatever that is.
He's got
is.
The leopard spots.
Help? Yeah, how does that fucking help?
Well, it gives him the spirit of the cheetah, because the cheetah goes 60 miles per hour. It's the only land animal that goes that fast.
I learned that from Airplane, by the way. What's the fastest land animal? Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Yeah, I don't know how that helps a body, the suction cups, but he's on it. He's doing it. And
God bless him.
That should be a good match. Bless him is right. Whatever works.
And I think we're looking at an Ishii win there, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about Nagata getting his one win against Fale, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he could, like, Ishii's a guy who he could beat, but again, I just look at prior booking. Look at Tenzan, look at Liger. I think you know where we're going here.
Right. I'm tending to agree.
Goto versus Naito in the semi. I think Naito's got to win that one because he's only at 6 points.
He's got two losses, yeah.
Yeah, this will pump him up to 8. I don't think he's losing at all in the rest of this tournament. I think we're looking at a Goto loss here, I'm sorry to say.
I'm in agreement as well. Yeah, he needs to pick up consecutive wins to get him over the hump. Yes.
And finally, the main event, a rematch from last year's first night of the G1 Climax, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Kota Ibushi.
Not going to lie, Colin, I'm really looking forward to this one.
As am I. Now, like, Tanahashi's got like 50 points. So I think he needs to lose at this point. I think Ibushi's going to get his win back from the 2015 G1. That's when that happened. Ibushi at 4 points. I think he needs to earn some. I think Ibushi's coming out on top here. And
okay, so
this will be an amazing match.
It will be an amazing match, no doubt. We talk about the other block, you know, being tied going into the semis. How many losses does Tanahashi have? One, right?
Yeah, Tanahashi. And again, I'm sorry, I feel like I should be ruffling papers together.
Come on, Dave. So, again, if we're talking – so, basically, Tanahashi needs two losses, and Naito needs two losses. Naito already has his two loss. Tanahashi could use to pick up one if, again, we're looking at that block semifinals.
Yeah. Tanahashi has 8 points. I mean, the only loss he had was against Zach.
Correct. First night.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
He's got to lose here.
So, you think it's Ibushi picking up the win?
Yeah, and not only that's a tasty IC title match down the future.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like a King of Pro Wrestling Sumo Hall. Think about it.
Well, I mean, think about this. If that's the case, then his next two opponents, Tanahashi, we're talking about, Ibushi,
Zach.
Zach.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
I think so. We're looking at a nice second half of the year, folks.
Yeah, I can get into that. I can dig all that. All right, nice. All right, and then what else we got?
All right, so that's August 1st. Right. Let's move on to August 2nd, which is going to take place from Fukuoka.
I've been there.
Yeah, yes, you have. That was you saw Goto win the title there, am I right?
That is correct. I saw the Young Bucks. Guess who I saw Kenny Omega defend the IC Junior Heavyweight title against?
Alex Shelley.
That is correct.
In an underrated match.
That is correct. Alex fucking Shelley. You are correct in that. Very good. Good job by Colin with the fucking memory. Great job by you. All right.
B-Block Show, August 2nd, Fukuoka. First match, Juice versus Sonata.
I should be good.
I think we're looking at a Sonata win.
Probably. I'm gonna give you a solid probably. I'm gonna give you a definitely maybe, as Liam and Noel would say. Sonata win. Good. All right. What else?
Elgin versus Toru Yano. I have a bad feeling about this for Elgin. I really
Elgin
do.
Elgin only has 4 points though.
Yeah.
And he's coming off a loss to Sonata. He's going back to back losses.
Look, it's Toru Yano.
Yano needs some points for my bet.
Right, for your to make your calculations correct. Yano
giving
needs
you
to
a
pick
fucking
up a
dollar
win
here.
And boy, what a that Elgin is almost like the perfect guy in a way for Yano to get that oh my god win over. If you think about it.
Fuck. How can a guy? I can't think of another. Help. Here's a question that I'm going to pose to the loyal, faithful, and monstrous audience that we have. Is there a guy that you can think of that has had a great year, a great year match quality-wise, but for whatever reason, the booking just doesn't work out that way? Like, he's had a great year quality match, but he's, like, loses. Like, the only guy I could think of that could possibly be that guy would be, like, Bobby Eaton. back in the day, like that's the only guy I can really think of that like has taken so many fucking losses, but has had match quality be so high. I wonder, could this be a ball shot?
That's what I'm leaning towards.
Could be, Colin. I'm going to give you.
You're going to give me the benefit of the doubt.
Only because I don't want to pay you a fucking dollar.
Damn, I should have. Boy, I can kick myself for not doing my bracket now.
Yeah, I'm an animal, Colin. I would have been like, I'll pay your fucking rent.
And God knows I could use that at this point.
Right. I mean, seriously. You could have just cleaned me out. I'm going to win this one. I feel confident. Go ahead, Toriano. Get the ball shot. Win. I need my dollar. I need to hold on to my dollar. All right. What else?
Kojima versus Suzuki.
Does Kojima go fucking over?
I think so.
Fuck me.
I don't think he's going to beat Suzuki. I mean, could you see a Suzuki-Kojima never title match? Actually,
yeah.
You know what I think should happen, if you want me to be honest? This whole Suzuki not bringing the never title out, let's just forget about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just going to just
fuck it.
And it never happened.
Look,
and
we've got the IWGP Heavyweight title, the IWGP Intercontinental title, the IWGP right. United States title. Let's just forget about the never title at this point. What does it matter?
It kind of just fades away.
Yeah.
And then we wake up one day in the middle of March and be like, what the fuck happened to the...
Right. Yeah. Phase it out. Because we're not doing anything interesting with it. It's not like Suzuki's going to be defending against, like, Bushi. You know what I mean?
No, but you got, you know, Evil. That should be fun.
We've got too many titles is what we've got.
All right, look,
I want to see this never title gone.
When was the last time the never six-man belts were defended?
The what? Exactly. Phase them out, too. Let's bury this never acronym completely.
Never more.
Yep, never more to the never titles.
All right. Yeah, I think Suzuki wins.
Yeah, and he needs look. I'm still not entirely. I had Suzuki going to the finals.
You did.
I had a Naito Suzuki final because they like to do things like that. Look at last year, Goto.
Yeah. You still going with this?
I don't, now I'm like, maybe I should have just gone for the most logical final, like I was preaching against for weeks.
We do overthink things.
Oh, I'm the king of overthinking life.
Right. Right. We do overthink things. Suzuki gets the win here, though.
Yeah, Suzuki gets the win.
All right. And then what else we got?
Okada versus Tama Tonga.
Fucking again.
He's going to go for that Rainmaker and gun stun out of nowhere. 1, 2, 3. Right? Right?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, no. No. Okada right. gets the win. All right. And then?
And then last but not least, Kenny Omega versus Evil.
Which has me concerned. But no, I think Kenny will remain with one loss. Okada has the loss. Away we go.
Okada will have the loss once Suzuki defeats him.
Correct.
Oh, and there, you know what? There is a way right there that Suzuki could kind of play spoiler.
That's what I'm saying. Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
All right. Here we go.
Yep. Yep. Here we go. We got it booked out, kids.
So there you go.
I'm sure mathematically it doesn't fucking work out. But whatever.
No. Which is why I scrapped my bracket in the first place, because I got too frustrated.
I was, like I said, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I got to fucking do this before. And I was just, I just looked at it. I was like, I can't make this work. And then I just started crying. And that was it.
Well, I think that's a show for today, Damon. What do you say?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here in lovely East Coast Philadelphia area. Not a cloud in the sky. Blue skies, low humidity. And I'm sitting here talking pro wrestling. Why? Because I love doing it with all of you. And
someone's going to isolate that clip. I love doing it with all of you. The police are going to come to your door.
One of the greatest things, I went on a fucking rant. A text message rant about some nonsense. And Colin types in, I'm sending these texts to the police. I reread it later in the day, and I kid you not, Colin, it was the funniest thing I fucking heard all day.
Hey, have my moments.
You do have your moments. But it is a gorgeous day, so I can't wait to go outside and enjoy some of that as we wrap up another award-winning performance here on the New Japan Purecast.
There you go. That is today's episode, folks. We've got August 1st, 2nd to look forward to during the week, as well as August 4th on Friday, and 2 big weekend shows coming up, so rest assured we'll be back here next weekend, same time, same place, to talk about all of those shows and all of the amazing matches that are sure to happen. And remember, NewJapanPurocast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, and all that good stuff. And you can also subscribe to Voices of Wrestling, their great podcast feed. We're usually up there every Monday afternoon, so no shortage of ways to check out the Purocast. And of course, please check out our great sponsor, GaijinCollectibles.com, your one-stop shop for all things in the world of Puroresu merchandise shipped straight to your door from Japan. Damon, any last words?
Please, again, our good friends at Onth. Remember Onth, the fine people over there who make those custom buttons. Well, I should be getting them this week. Now, I don't have a million of them right now. I have a handful, so a lot of them are already earmarked, but they look wonderful. I can't wait to get them in my grubby little hand so I can give them away. I guarantee you I'll be ordering more, so we'll find a way. I don't want anybody paying for them. Like, I just feel silly.
Dirty.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what am I going to charge people $1 per? You know what I mean? So we'll find a way to get you these, because to us, you know, if you wear them on your bag or on your jacket or on your whatever, that means the world to us, right? That's very cool that somebody would do that. So
I'm asking $20 a piece for the buttons. That's not including tax, shipping,
self-addressed stamped envelope.
Right? All that's going to go into my bank account, by the way. So.
Yes, he's going to live off of the buttons.
Yeah.
So again, check him out. It's Onth. It's the number one, THGOODS. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. I can't say enough great things about them. So give them a look, and we'll find a way to get rid of these buttons. Hey, this weekend I will be at a show. If you want to come say hi, by all means. You know that Onita FMW, he's coming in for CZW. At the Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees. I know there's a ton of people that are going to go to these shows. Well, guess what? So am I. I'm like 10 minutes from it. We're looking forward to it. We got a lot of people flying in for this show, so it should be a fun time. So look me up. I'll be there along with our good friends Eric from the Classic Board. Mackie will be there. Danny, who's also on the Classic Board, will be there. So a ton of people.
Damon's going to block them all on his phone after the night's over. They're all going to get blocked.
You're all getting blocked. Oh, the magic of Damon. So again, come say hi, and we'll have a good time all that Saturday. It's a whole fucking day. So come say hi there. All right, I think that's it for me. Colin, bring us home.
All righty, folks. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here, same time next week, to talk more G1 Climax 27.